meeting when we'll have pretty much the paper almost ready to go. I guess we'll have to
Hey, good morning, talk folks. Ram here.
Hey, Ram, how are you?
Good. Yeah, happy Thanksgiving to you. Thanks for showing up on the day before Thanksgiving. Looks like a lot of other folks can't make it.
We are the hardcore.
Let's see how many folks join today.
Well, it looks like Stan is going to show up.
Sorry, who was that?
I said Stan will probably show up.
No, so I thought Stan's email said that he won't be able to make it.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, we might have a short call if we don't have quorum, but let's just...
Oh, what's the quorum?
There's no
system. Well, at least there's no official quorum, but enough people so we can make progress.
Oh, yes. Well, even if there's just a few, you could probably help me with the white paper.
Sure, we could do that.
And I would be delighted to come to the identity working group.
The time after next, which would
okay.
be...
Oh, that's the same. That's the same time right now, right?
Yes, but it's...
Yeah. Okay.
Obviously.
All right, it's 5 after. So just a quick reminder to folks that, on top of our meeting notes, we have the antitrust notice. So for those who are not familiar, please take a look and, give the boilerplate notice that we need to follow the antitrust policy. With that, let's see, who do we have? Hi, Clive and Solana. Welcome, Tracy.
Thank you.
I didn't get any notice from Mick whether he was joining. Bin said that he's unlikely to come, but he couldn't stay away from email. I didn't hear from Mick specifically. Let's hope he's able to join later. Gordon, we want to take a look at the identity paper. It looks like you made some edits, and then we can start there. Let me find that.
Does anyone need
the meeting notes?
Could you post a link in chat for that so that I can go look at it?
Yeah, I'll do that right now.
Thank you.
Meeting notes, link, and then let's do.
Did that chat go?
Which chat are you posting to? Is it in here or Rocket Chat?
No, not Rocket Chat.
I just posted it on Rocket Chat. So.
Okay, and here it is here. Here it is in Zoom too.
Awesome, thank you. Tracy, how are we going about marketing the work that this group is doing? Because I feel like this is one of the things that people really need to know about that we're up to. Because like when people always ask, what is Hyperledger for? To me, this is like the perfect example of what Hyperledger is for.
So I don't think we do a very good job of marketing our working groups and what they're up to. Okay. Mostly it's through the community calendar. Right, or people who are expressing an interest in participating. Obviously, this week it's a small group just because of the holiday tomorrow. But I think it was Mark Wagner on one of the TSE calls or in the chat or something mentioned the fact that there is no real good way to get to the working groups from the hyperledger.org.
Right.
Website. So I think there's definitely a lot more we can do around community working groups.
Yeah, that's one of the things I was talking to David Boswell about in regards to the rework that we're doing on the website is I do want to see these pathways become more open, and the working groups is a major pathway for us. I also think, and if anyone has any other suggestions, I do want to make sure that I engage when white papers are done, the normal marketing resources of LF. And make sure that we do things like tweet it out and cross-post it and things of that nature. And if anyone's into doing a blog post about this after we get the paper done, let Tracy and I know so that we can help get that out there and promote it.
Yeah, all the white papers are definitely on the website, and I'm pretty sure that they are tweeting about them. So I think that piece, when we actually have a finished white paper, I think we do a fairly good job of letting people know that it's out there, but there's definitely more that we can do.
Gotcha. Yeah, it's kind of been funny working with some of the stuff on the LF because I have to admit, they don't do campaigns the way I do campaigns. So I'm trying to help influence that a little bit more so that I can make sure that we do get the kind of coverage that I'd like to see more.
Silona, maybe you should talk about who you are.
Oh, sorry. Thank you. Hi, guys.
Hello.
Rather than, I know who you are, but.
Yes.
Yes, and I got a brief intro from the board call, so.
Sorry about that. Hi, everyone. I'm Silona Bonfald. I'm the new VP of Community Architecture for Hyperledger. So I'm trying to get a lot of stuff organized for Tracy, Ryan, and the Davids. So right now I'm formulating things. So I'm looking for a lot of feedback and a lot of things that you think are done well and that you think are done poorly or that you think is a gap so that I can consider that in regards to the roadmaps that Tracy et al. And I will be doing very soon now. So please do so. And as Vipin can tell you, I'm pretty open to listening, I think, at this point. He'll tell you that, so.
Welcome, good to meet you.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you.
Yes, and certainly, you know, we've been focused more on the actual work itself, and I guess the biggest challenge is the pace in which we make progress, because you know, this is not anybody's day job. We all have our day jobs. So, that's been, but you know, there's a lot of enthusiasm, and you know, we're making slow but steady progress here. So, anything you can help in terms of, you know, how we recruit more folks, and in terms of resources, can spend more time with actual work, that'll be great.
Right, totally. Well, it's one of those things where, you know, there's several things that I want to do for you, right? I want to help you find more resources and have them used well. Mm-hmm. And then I also want people to know about this work, even if they're not actually helping create it. Because I think that going through a lot of these architectures and showing, to me, you know, this is a very important group because of the fact that you are doing so much of this cross-product work and having to sit there and have everything interacting with each other. And in regards to business, it's extremely important because business needs, you know, we don't want, I assume all of us would like less chaos. And so going through and making sure that all these things are interacting with each other and working, you know, having the, not exactly standards, but open discussions, I think is really crucial. So...
Yes. Just to give you a little bit more, I don't know how familiar you are with our the ArcWork Group charter and what we are setting out to do and so forth. You know, our aspiration is to kind of be a cross project working group and kind of work towards an architectural framework so that we can at least at the minimum kind of understand the different approaches the different projects are taking, but aspirationally to define a unifying framework with functional requirements, focusing at least on what the functional requirements for each of the modules or functions, services are, and kind of explain the pros and cons of the different approaches to kind of actually implement the functions. And, you know, there's always been an ongoing debate from the very beginning of the architecture work group, whether we should be more descriptive or whether we should go further and be normative about how the projects should kind of converge on that uniform framework. So, you know, that's a little bit of background of where we're at. So we're, I would say, somewhat in the middle ground in the type of things that we're doing here, and the identity paper is a good example, where we're laying out the functional description of each of the functional requirements within system identities as an example, and saying, hey, this is what each of these functions represent, and you know, here's a couple of different approaches that can be taken, but we are focusing more on the functional requirement, let's say, for authentication, authorization, for revocation, for bootstrap, and so forth. And then we have a discussion from each of the projects of how they're doing today. Eventually, we'd like to get to the point where we're saying, hey, this is how, this is, you know, rather than describe the implementation themselves, this is how the projects can evolve towards the uniform framework and at least be normative about the functional requirements.
Mm-hmm. No, I know that this is also a topic that's very near and dear to Tracy's heart. So, and the thing that I would like to do is help you get organized in regards to the other teams and figuring out how we can make sure that a lot of this stuff cross-pollinates. And so for that, when we do talk about the website and some of those other different things, finding out more about what it is that y'all are doing, why it's such a huge win, and getting that up and written on the website so that when people do come in and they are making their decisions as to where to go and where to spend their time, they're very well educated on it. And so at some point, we'll probably have to sit down for a little bit of time and go over the short and sweet version. Because I think y'all have it down in regards to the long, but for the website, we got to get it, you know, tight. So
makes sense, and we'd be happy to kind of help out with blogs and so forth to kind of publicize this.
I think that the one thing that I do well is I help people get it short and sweet. And so I would like to sit down and help you get that piece ready for this, because like a lot of the different stuff that you were just talking about, I think is really important to be reflected in when people are incoming. And a lot of times the stuff that's when people are incoming is a little bit more dry than that. And not talking as well as about the business value and the why. Too often it's the what. And so I'd like to get y'all to the why.
Makes sense. Yes, we are pretty much, at least in the actual work product, we are pretty much focused on the what.
Yeah, and I understand that. I mean, that's what, you know, I had to learn how to do the why. It was not my first inclination as a developer. You know, I just intuitively knew why it had to be that way. And it took a lot of research, obviously, and coaching for me to get to the point where I was better at explaining the business why to people to get them to give me the money I wanted.
Yes. Well, I've been doing technical writing for decades, and I always ask at the start of a project, I always ask the developers I'm talking to, why are we doing this? And you know what they always say? My boss told me to.
Did you hear it here?
I didn't ask it here because perhaps I had a clue.
Not just here. What I mean is in like performance and scale working group where you've been involved in other places.
The introduction was an interesting one. The introduction to Hyperledger, that was a good one. Why are we doing this? Well, to try to give developers, technical managers, entrepreneurs, startup people, and basically anybody in the world an idea of what Hyperledger is all about and what blockchain is all about. So that was kind of like an impossible mission.
Yeah, that's one of the things that I'm trying to work with the team on right now, is I feel like a lot of that isn't as concise as it could be. And one of the things that I work a lot on, and this is my bias that I'm coming from, is I did a bunch of work on something called InnerSource, which is taking open source tools and technologies and making it function in an enterprise. And so instead of how do we make the world collaborate, it's more like how do I make all the various business units in a corporation collaborate. And so I did a lot on the middle management level, because that's who I had to get through to get everything done. And that's what I'm hoping to bring here, is my knowledge of how to get middle management feeling safe and comfortable and willing to allocate resources and support you. Because I think that's the major piece that we do wrong currently in open source. And I sit there and say that having done open source for a while, well over a decade, maybe two. I do want to look at that for our stuff. And I think that this group is super crucial to that, because people don't like wasting time. And I think there's a lot of stuff where we can sit there and show that doing this prevents time wasting in the future. And that becomes a very good middle management argument. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, so that's my bias, FYI.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks for that, Sabrina. I think we're going to hopefully, you know, get more help from you, and, you know, maybe it'll help us become more impactful as a group. And we got to figure out how we actually feed this back to the projects. Today, we are more, it's kind of trickles down in the sense that some of the key architects from the different projects do participate here. So, and hopefully that works its way through the roadmap and how the projects take some of these recommendations and incorporate them into their implementations. But, you know, it'll be good to kind of figure out how to make that a little bit more formal as we go forward as well.
I have to take more off of Tracy's plate so she can do that for you. That's what I'm because I'm going to take a lot of stuff off of Tracy's plate so she can do that.
Got it. So maybe you can come back to the system identities paper. Gordon, I'm just looking through the introduction itself, and the initial feedback on that brief introduction section is that maybe it reads too broadly in terms of digital identity in general. So it might be more appropriate for the paper that Vipin is working on in the identity work group. Here we are a little bit more narrowly focused on system identities and the functional requirements for the ledgers themselves. So maybe we should narrow the focus in the introduction to talk about what we are addressing in this paper. Does it make sense?
Sure, sure. I always like to.
What do you think, Vipin?
Yeah, I mean, this paper is a strange hybrid because of the fact that there is a separate identity working group, and this is dealing with from an architectural viewpoint on system or node identities. But often, any kind of discussion on enterprise systems that have not just node identity, any identity, often starts with establishing some kind of a chain or a root of trust. Sometimes it does come back to the system identities and enterprise identity systems. So there is a bit of overlap, and I do agree with you that the language there is more general, and it talks about let's actually go to the introduction, right? Not every identity entity on a permission blockchain may want their identity exposed to every other entity. This is the second point. But I think the main thing to note even before all this is that the whole difference between a sort of permissioned or enterprise blockchain and public blockchain is the fact that nodes or system entities do have identity. And that's a key point, because in Bitcoin, anyone can download the thing and run their node. And in Ethereum, there is a middle ground, meaning the smart contracts that you deploy do have identity, and then you got to have a controlling identity on that smart contract in order to be able to do certain things. But that's specific to the smart contract deployment and control aspect. I mean, I don't know whether we should go into details on the public blockchain, but definitely the difference is the presence of this, of identity related to the where the nodes are running. Not where, but who the nodes are running under. And then, of course, you build up a whole hierarchy based on the organization, based on roles, and so on and so forth. But that's a second layer, and that's sometimes not present. It's definitely present in Fabric, not present maybe in Sawtooth, but also Sawtooth allows, and Fabric both allow for that, for that to be expanded by using APIs like membership services or the endpoints in Sawtooth. So coming back to that particular two paragraphs, we have to focus on that aspect.
Yeah. So it'll be kind of good to get to just make the point that we are focused on the identity services needed for the system entities, nodes, and how we kind of bootstrap and allow enrollment of system entities to the network, and what is the root of trust, and so forth. We're not really talking about at least in this iteration, anything beyond the identities of the system. This can be then the next layer of, you know, you think of it as a chain of trust. Once the system entities, permission entities are set up, then you can use that to bootstrap digital identities in general as an application on top of that. But the focus of this paper is very much on the ledger and the nodes themselves that constitute permission blockchains.
So, Gordon, do you want our suggestions as to what those two?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. And I see what you mean about that being too general and stuff. The way it started before was identity is a vital part of any permissioned blockchain. And then it jumped right down to an identity is a collection of attributes, da 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 da. And I like to put in at least a couple of sentences, and this maybe goes back to the why. Like, why are we so concerned about system identities for blockchain? Like, the first sentence or two should be at a higher level, I would say. And
we can certainly add a rationale.
Okay.
Behind that. I mean, the whole idea of permissioned blockchains or enterprise blockchain is that you have to be let into the club, the federation.
Mm-hmm.
And that federation is obviously controlling the members using the identity of who's allowed to participate in terms of the consensus algorithm, in terms of the other, system. I think, Tracy, your phone is crackling. At least that's what I hear. I don't know.
Let me try to mute myself.
No, I think it's Tracy's phone. At least that's what it shows up here. I don't know.
Oh, is that what that dot means?
Well, it shows
the phone is... No, the dot means she's recording. The fact that her speaker is on, I think, is where we're getting the feedback from.
Yeah. I think she's not on or not hearing us. Anyway, yeah, now she's muted. Beautiful.
Okay, awesome. Thanks. Okay.
So we can certainly supply that rationale.
Great.
So that's, I'll definitely put something in there about that.
Great. And I think that's a good spot to think about the middle managers or the IT managers, like at least in those first couple of sentences. So to give them some kind of context for this before we jump down to, the kind of worm's eye view of all the details and the definitions and stuff. So that's how I really recommend that all the white papers start.
Yeah, sure.
Well, that would certainly help me out.
Ram, what do you think? I think we, the framing, you've done it beautifully, but now we have to look at it from the viewpoint of, I guess, somebody from the enterprise looking at it.
Yeah, I think for me, the main motivation is, for system entities is how do you establish a root of trust and build up, this is kind of the basis of trust and security in a permission blockchain network, right? That's the main... And of course, then you need, what are the identity services you need to kind of manage and maintain that trusted system of identities? And that's the basis of all the other functioning of the ledger.
Well, yes and no, because there is an orthogonal approach, which would be that there would be, like a CA kind of thing, but obviously, you know, that does not necessarily have to map onto the system identities. You know, that can be a completely different root of trust. But in any
case, I think we refer to that here as well, right? As one of the options. That is, you know, when establishing the root of trust, then you should agree that the initial participants agree on who are the certificate authorities, right?
Yes. In fact, that's the whole point. I mean, the configuration of your system is often the place where that that is established and doesn't necessarily focus on the system identities. But anyway, I agree with you that a lot of that, you know, the control of the nodes and the delegation of that control, like, for example, what if one node winks out of existence? How does the next node that is a replacement come into being or be put on the blockchain? You know, these kind of things. These are all procedural sort of process oriented matters, but in the end, it has to make sense with regard to the identity of the nodes. In fact, there have been other proposals out in the you know, the other world, which is not to allow people to, like, for example, even the identity of the transactors somehow to be tied to the machine on which people are actually doing things. This is you know, things like Rivets, but that's a separate matter, meaning now you're strengthening through correlation the identity of the person by actually correlating with you know, a actual computer or a mobile phone that they control. That's, you know.
Hey guys, some input from Tracy, because evidently Tracy can't talk because we got the nasty feedback. And we were kind of chatting separately on a private channel about some of the different pieces of it. One of the things that I don't completely understand is y'all are saying systems identity. I think it's really good at the very beginning of the paper to talk about the different types of identity and the fact and what they each are and the fact that we're only addressing system. And so have that at the very beginning, I think would actually add a lot to the clarity for the paper, because it would sit there and say, this is what we're doing, this is what we're not doing. And if there are papers like Vipin's been working on some of the different pieces of some of those other layers, we point them to those other papers. Or the working groups that are working on some of those. And one of the things that I think that's really helpful on these kind of things is, you know, I can sit there and see that you are giving time to a lot of the other projects and products or labs, and making sure that we do a lot of cross linkage with each of those, so that not only do we do those, but we make sure and follow up with them and have them cross link over and say, oh, by the way, this is over here now. So we can get that kind of cross-sectional love happening.
At least in terms of the identity working paper, we will we'll definitely do that. You know, the double bridge.
Absolutely. So we should, totally agreed. And that's what I was getting to in terms of narrowing the scope to system identities, you know, explaining what that is in the introduction and then saying, and put a reference to the identity working group and the identity working group paper for the broader question of digital identity, and then say, this is what this is focused on here.
Right, and so you can distinguish what this paper is about and that there are other papers to go deeper dive on. You know, it's just like when you're watching videos on YouTube, they always start off with sitting there saying, I'm gonna talk about this. If you wanna go deeper dive or you need some background or you need this or you need that, here's all the other links, and then they go into their topic. And so something like that right at the beginning, I think, would make the paper a faster read, and you'll get more people to actually sit down and go through how many pages it is. But I don't think that you'll get people to go through it if you don't start off that way.
Great suggestion.
Hey, y'all, can you hear me now?
Yes, thank you.
Yep.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, we can.
Now that Salona has said everything I wanted to say, I'm good.
Yeah, we also saw the chat thing. that you put out. What we're going to cover and not going to cover.
Yes, yes. So what different types of identities are there? Like, is that an hour-long discussion or is that like 1 minute?
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just thinking on that topic, especially with what we're not going to cover, because one way to lighten this paper in terms of what we're not going to cover is to, there's a lot of computing which is happening at this time, where instead of we're decentralizing, perhaps in passing resources around at the client or it's being distributed. For example, there's work which is going on to pass assets around. Digital assets, perhaps between a web app and a website itself. So I don't know that we need to carry the identity once the once the person says, "Hey, I'm going to pass some sort of token from an app to a website." I've handed that off. I don't need to pass my identity along anymore. So I can keep my identity secure because I've said, "Hey, pass along this certificate." So one way to answer that question about what other types of identities there are identities where I remove my identity and I pass a document along. That's what I was trying to give some input there. Mm-hmm. It really comes into focus in terms of talking about here about using SGX Enclave verification, because I may be passing some sort of I may be using my identity to pass an asset along, and then after that, but I'm passing it in perhaps into another network where I'm not entirely sure about the security. So maybe I want to remove my identity at that point. Maybe I just want to stamp it with, this is what I passed along, but I no longer need to keep track of it because my identity is now an abstraction from that. Maybe I'm getting into too much details here.
Yeah, so going back to the, I think, question you asked, Gordon, I think in my mind, the biggest difference is that we're talking about, when we say system identities, we're talking about the actual participants maintaining, validating the ledger itself, right? So this is nodes that might be actually, receiving requests from clients and transactors, doing functions like request validation, in the fabric kind of world, endorsements, and in all other words, participating in consensus. So who are the nodes who are actually maintaining the ledger, participating in validating transaction requests, validating and participating in consensus and ordering, and so those are the type of entities that we are mainly focused on. And also the flip side of what identities we are not focused on, it is client identities, transactor identities, and so forth.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's the normally when people talk about identity, they're talking about people, right? The people who are interacting with some service. That's not what we're talking about here, right? We're talking about the machines that are actually running the components necessary to make the blockchain network function, right? Those nodes, those validator nodes, those endorsers, those orders, those sorts of things.
Okay.
Okay, that's good to, I think that's helpful to add that, to make that clear, yeah.
So there's no like layers of the famous seven layer model or anything like that, right? That we can say we go to this layer and not these other layers. That hasn't been predefined for us in computer science before, right?
Unfortunately, it's not that clear cut.
Okay.
I think it might help to add that type of seven layer or different layer cake to give a visual.
And to be honest, seeing what we're what I'm dealing with on a higher level at Hyperledger, the big problem that we have with Hyperledger is, you know, we don't fit into something like the OSI model sort of thing. And so there's a big question of standardization and what mm-hmm. is appropriate and what is not appropriate for Hyperledger. And so I'm hoping that you guys and Tracy will be coming up with something to help me with that. Where we do look at all of these different layers and determine what this ends up looking like, because, you know, just containers alone has blown a bunch of stuff up, you know, and then looking at all the different platform services and everything as a service has also blown a lot of that up. And so if we can try to help those different groups by defining that as the architecture group, oh my God, that would be so useful. And I think it's something that will extend past the Hyperledger community and into the larger blockchain community.
Are you referring to the apps versus frameworks?
Yes.
Debate?
Yes. Yes. Beyond that, you know, and the question of standards, right? Because we will always have this question of standards going on because we're not a standards body.
That was the message mm-hmm. that many from the TSC give, but then we are involved with many standards bodies who are standards bodies, like, you know, W3C people and so on. And I did go to a conference this last week where people were saying the lack of standards is one of the biggest problems. So I don't know where that puts us.
Well, the thing is, so I come, you know, so I've played with a lot of different standards bodies, and I kind of, you know, IEEE and IETF and all that kind of fun stuff. But, you know, before you'd create standards, you really should have a lot of implementation. So I'm kind of like more in the whole microformats.org kind of thing, is to go out and see what all the implementations are. And so here we're experimenting with a lot of that.
Yeah.
And identifying it and saying, here's the common patterns and here's some of this different stuff so that we can inform those standards bodies. But in ISO especially, right, with the supply chain. But for me, one of the things that I would like to see out of this group is us going through and helping create those definitions for them. So that they can see the common implementations and what they might be and how we might abstract them out. Mm-hmm. You know, rather than us sitting there saying, you must, you know, here's my dumb example that I've been using a lot, but instead of us telling everybody, you must do last name, instead, you know, we're kind of a group that sits there and says, oh, here's some common taxonomies of what people use for this information that is commonly known as being, you know, last name. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a difference there. And mm-hmm. it's something that's super important during this time of growth where everything's exploding all over the place, where we can sit there and gather that together for them and show that. And I have to admit, I've totally got a bias towards standards because I've done so many of them at this point that I have to choke back myself on it, where it's like, I got to take the reins and go, Salota, don't go there. Because you're not ready and we need to pull back and it's not what Hyperledger is about.
Well, I think you'll be interested in the performance and scale working group, what they've been doing, right? And they wanted to do a benchmark for how to test the performance of and compare performance of different blockchains. And they quickly realized we can't even start doing that because we have to define, say, like, what is a transaction? What is a node? So everybody thinks, I think we all wish it was more mature and more established, but they argued for, well, debated politely for 1 year about what is a transaction, what is a node, what are some of the formulas that we could possibly put out to measure, you know, any kind of throughput of a blockchain. And the first white paper from that group is really just kind of like a glossary. You know, they're, and now they're starting to talk about what are some of the ways we could get our arms around some kind of starting point for doing some kind of initial benchmark. And that's going to be, you know, another year, you know, at least. So you'll be interested in that one. And if you haven't had a chance to look at that white paper, you should.
She was on it yesterday.
Oh, great. Yeah. Okay. Great.
But I haven't read
the speaking white paper. For her, but basically, but again, you know, this is this, gray zone between the taxonomy and then coming up with at least what can be standardized and what cannot be standardized, you know, that kind of thing. And then, of course, driving towards standards based on actual implementations. But all I'm saying is that there are these people, ISO, you know, others like, you know, in terms of specific product specific stuff like ISDA, you know, International Swaps and Derivatives Association, come out with something called CDM, Common Data Model. So, which encompasses blockchains, but is very focused on the swaps and derivative space. But when they start breaking it down, they come to the same conclusions that Rom and you know, Stan and all that come up with, which is basically come up with a bunch of primitives, right, that can then be composed to deliver the behavior of a product. So they had to decompose it into let's say payments, into schedules, you know, like what schedule will you be paid under, you know, those kind of things. But in the end, we do have to work with a concrete, we do have to build bridges. We do have to influence the people who are setting standards, even though we may not be doing that directly. So I think that contrary to what people are saying, that we are actually, more mature than we realize, because there are a lot of real world applications either imminently going to production or you know, in some final stages of it, especially in post-trade settlement and certain use cases in financial space, and also, of course, provenance, supply chain, trade finance, you know, those areas. But we have to be consciously engaging with these groups, not, you know, instead of just throwing up a bunch of, you know, like a bunch of taxonomy and then hoping that they will take it up. We have to go to them and tell them, look, you know, these are the use cases that we see coming out of Hyperledger platforms. They are not our direct concern, but these are the primitives that we get from them. And please tell us, you know, what whether you're working on any standards on this, or if you're not, you know, what are your timelines, and whether we can influence those standards. Like, for example, the identity standards for verifiable claims, their W3C is coming up with a working group, which is often the first step in creating standards. So I wonder, as Hyperledger, do we have a seat at that table, or are we relying on individual entities like IBM, Intel, and all to make that sort of...
Well, Vipin, one of the things that I have to admit I've been thinking about a lot, and I don't know yet, you'll find there's a lot of stuff I don't know yet, is for these different groups and the fact that we aren't doing standards, how do we help the participants who are participating in standards, and how do we reflect that back and forth? And I'm not exactly sure what that looks like, because I've got that not just here, but all over the place. You know, with the pressure from like having these other different groups, which would, you know, accidentally become standards if we're not careful. And the thing is I'm actually probably afraid, I'm probably okay with the fact that if we did accidentally become a standard, that's probably fine. We just shouldn't be doing the standards or the governance here. We should be taking it somewhere else. And I think that's the weird line that we have to walk. And the question is how do we support y'all in that, and also work towards doing that without corporate dominance, you know, because that's the thing that I'm afraid of, and that's one reason why, or that's a reason I feel like Hyperledger stays away from the standards and governance, because then we'd also have to deal with corporations trying to the undue influence question. And, you know, we just don't have the resources IEEE and ISO has for that. And even then, I've still been on Bluetooth ones where it still doesn't go the way that we would like for it to go. So,
I agree. I think, we're not set up to be a standards body, and we can do a lot in just, calling out in... If you look at IETF, there's a lot of respect paid to working code when it comes to a proposed standard. So in the sense that, you know, we have practitioners here who are building these things and experimenting with them, if we can call upon that to kind of lay out the common patterns and frameworks and functional requirements, that's a good starting point to then go and work on standards in, let's say, the IETF, right?
And I admit that's the kind of, and that's why I'm liking the white paper, is because it's more about, in some ways, creating vocabulary and introductions to what these things are and how they might possibly work and how each of the different groups are doing them and things of that nature. I find that to be really valuable and informative in that direction. And so I like that. And that's one reason why I said at the very beginning, making sure that we're clear as to what we mean by systems identities and explaining that in the general sense. I have to admit, I would like, you know, my layer cake somewhere, but...
Oh, me too. I think those kind of diagrams are fantastic, but I wouldn't know how to label the layers.
Well, that's the craziness, I think, with where we're at right now, is we don't have a layer cake, right? Instead, we've got what's the crazy cake mashup pie that you get at family reunions. We kind of have that going on right now, right? The Mississippi mud pie is what we've got.
Just so to give you a little bit of background, we did start out trying to make a layer cake, and then within our group, we kind of tried to figure out if there's a better way of representing it without a layer cake. And we had some debate, and now we have. But yeah. What it is. So.
Do we want to look at something more like mind mapping, where we can then show the cross linkages of things of that nature? That might work.
I think Yeah, if you look at the first paper, I do think we do have something there, right? Where is our first consensus paper?
I think we ended up putting in just the components with a description of the components.
Yes.
We can decide on that later.
We started out with a layer, and then we didn't get enough of agreement on the layer, so we ended up just doing functional blocks and having a jumble of them.
If I can make a suggestion about this white paper, like I think we've got these six. We're saying we're sort of defining the functional requirements for these six items, right? Establishing a root of trust down to interoperability. And then we're going through each of those briefly in turn, which is a good structure. Then we're saying, how do each of the frameworks handle system identity? It would be lovely if we went through those six items for each of the frameworks. Right now we have a kind of, you know, an okay write-up on each framework, but it's just kind of a bunch of points that don't fall clearly in under those other six buckets. Mm-hmm. So I don't know, like to me, that would be the ideal way to handle the details.
100% agree, Gordon. And that's my request of the folks in the different projects. If we can kind of maybe get your help in translating whatever they provide into that framework, that would be fantastic, because we might need a little bit of nudging to get the input from the projects to align with our overall framework.
Okay. So for the details, that would be good. And then we're talking about the front end, the introduction to it, how the high level and what's in, what we're dealing with and what we're not dealing with. So this is challenging.
It's what I want Tracy to help with.
Tracy, she's taken some things off your plate, but then given you another big serving as well. So.
But this is her.
No, she hasn't taken anything off my plate yet.
Oh, it's just a promise.
That's a good
trick. Haven't seen my diagram. That I'm coming up, Tracy. I am purposely going to be taking a lot of this stuff off your plate. So. I won't fit our dirty laundry here, but
I figure 2 weeks in we can't be quite there yet, so it's all right.
One and a half.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I was thinking we might get this paper out in before Christmas, but I don't think so. There's too much left to do, right?
It'll be a little bit rough with our team helping y'all out with it right now, because we've got Thanksgiving holiday, then yeah. we've got our big global forum in Basel, and then vacation. And mm-hmm. so trying to get anything done before January 1 is going to be a little rough for us in regards to the approval process. And like I said, one of the things I'm doing is I'm not taking that vacation. I'm going to be trying to figure out everything in regards to roles, responsibilities, prioritizations, all of those different things. And, you know, I'll go on the record for being a little blunt about the fact that one of my major prioritizations is Tracy in this group and freeing her up, because I think this is where we need to be. And so, you know, I'll be in here nagging y'all in regards to marketing stuff, because one of my babies. But other than that, this is one of my goals for the next year.
All right. Fantastic.
Great.
So I think we are at time at 10 o'clock. Unfortunately, I need to run. Looking forward to next steps here, and looking forward to all the help we can get. We can use all the help we can get.
Okay. Well, thank you, everyone.
Thanks, folks.
All right.
Talk to you next time.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.